We're back on The Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry and somebody we trust to bring us the local news, especially here during the week of Thanksgiving. It is the one and only Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today, sir?
We are good, Rocco. Thank you.
Fantastic, Dave. And you know, with Thanksgiving, obviously a lot of history behind the holiday and, you know, sort of how it originated and things like that. Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of history, excellent article in the Chronicle-Telegram written by one of your fresher colleagues, Mason Jones. And for those wondering, hey, maybe what was life like back in the, 1800s for folks in the now Lorain County area? Well, the Avon Lake Public Library might now have some answers for you if that is your inquiry. Again, Mason Jones had the latest in the CET. Dave, what went on here?
Yeah, this is really kind of a neat story for Mason to pick up as one of his first bylines. We welcome him in. But he picked up a story about the Avon Lake Library recently obtaining a number of letters written in the 1840s through the 1880s by an Englishman by the name of John Elson, who moved to Avon. Basically, the correspondence continued after following his death, but it details a lot of his travels, life as as he wrote to life around the this area of the country, as he wrote back to his brother in England. He came through the ports of New York City, showed up in Avon and discussed, how he got there, carriages, steamboats, train, all that other kind of stuff. These are copies, some of these are copies, that Mason saw. Some of these are copies from the originals that are being preserved. So they don't get fingerprint sure. oils, don't ruin them and everything. But reading these kind of gives you an idea maybe of going back, and imagine moving from England to the United States and coming through New York during the time of steamships and that kind of thing, and then ending up in Avon, which much of it was, I presume, farmland, and undeveloped. But basically, the library got these, after one of its librarians was doing some research and heard about the letters from someone in England. They found contact information for somebody. Not contact information for Elson, and he's long dead, obviously, but found that, some of these were kept in storage, and then hadn't been posted online. So most of them, which, had been written in the 1850s, mm-hmm. and kind of discussed the, life at the time and everything like that. It was actually adult services librarian Laura Plensky who got her hands on copies of the letters, which we can actually show you that, the holes and how they were transcribed into modern print, for better viewing, that kind of thing. She called them irreplaceable. She said this is the kind of stuff that the genealogists love to find. You can always get, public records from back then, land sales and census records and things like that. But these you actually read about somebody and their daily travels, their daily life, what things were like back then. And that's a lot of things that you can't get. You absolutely can't get through public records. So a really neat kind of story breaking down some of these letters, written by Mason. It's really a great little story for him to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely encourage folks to check this out. It's in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram, also at chronicleT.com. It's just, again, a very cool look into what life was like back in the Avon area in the mid to late 1800s, and you get it from a firsthand perspective, a primary source, so to speak. So very, very cool story here. Definitely encourage those to check out the work from Mason that he did here, and again, all having to tie in with the Avon Lake Public Library. So very cool stuff there. Another story I wanted to talk about with you this morning, good sir, comes from you yourself, Mr. O'Brien, as you had quite a doozy over the weekend. Lorain County Port Authority now considering not one, not two, not three, but four proposals to redevelop the Midway Mall area. This has obviously been a hot topic in recent months, years, whatever. What to do with that gosh darn Midway Mall? So, Dave, what's with these proposals?
Yeah, very hot topic, as we've discussed, in the recent past and going back for some time before that. So Lorain County Port Authority received four proposals from four different developers. It's really kind of five proposals because one of the developers actually has two options sort of within one proposal, both of which are kind of, you know, basically redeveloping them all. But these proposals showed up in the last week of October. We got our hands on them ahead of some public meetings, some further discussion about what's planned for the mall site, or what might be planned for the mall site. Your proposals come from Industrial Commercial Partners. I'm going to refer to them as ICP. Mm-hmm. You know, probably for the ease of pronunciation. And then they actually have a land lease on the former Best Buy property at Midway Mall. They lease some of the property that exists at the mall currently, and they're aware through some of their financial and real estate dealings of what, you know, of what uses the might mall have. They've done the mall might have. They've done studies about this kind of thing. Another really fascinating proposal came from is called The Garden, from the Center for Food Innovation, which would basically create like an urban agriculture system, an urban farm, if you will, and vertical style in the old Sears and JCPenney. Basically, it would be, you know, it's what's called, and you'll forgive me if I have to think of the acronym, you know, kind of quickly here, but what it's called, in controlled environment agriculture, or CEA. And that's really kind of an interesting thing, where you have indoor vertical farms, you know, basically in stacks or hanging, you know, plants hanging from the roof, you know, and you would have all sort of the internal irrigation systems and waste collection systems and things like that. Mm-hmm. For growing, say, tomatoes. You know, and they would also have outdoor greenhouse farms, cold storage buildings, food processing, retail, restaurants, food distribution. This is part of the Food Innovation Institute, which is a collaboration of sort of higher education institutions, LC, you know, Lorain County Community College, I should say LC3, is sort of a partner in this to an extent, helped to develop some of this this proposal. That one, the Center for Food Innovation, is not about redeveloping the mall per se, but it's committed to sort of making that property and Elyria and Lorain County a center of year-round agriculture. Really fascinating, proposal. Yeah. ICP, much more so, is just sort of redeveloping the 58 acres that we're talking about. It has experience with property and property management. It has partnered in the past with Amazon to create fulfillment centers. I think everybody's pretty familiar that it has done things like that before. It had bought distressed malls, either torn them down or redeveloped them in some way with some of the existing structure, you know, retained, and some of the and some of it just torn down and completely rebuilt. They've done this in a couple places. The other two developers that are involved in this or want to be involved in this are Skinnell Properties out of Minnesota and Indiana, and they offered basically $600,000 for the mall property. The assumption being that everything would get torn down, they would buy the property and then redevelop it. So it has experience doing this in North Ridgeville, Brook Park, Strongsville, Valley View, Bedford Heights, Walton Hills, Twinsburg, Aurora, a number of other places in Northeast Ohio. It has done things like this, created projects that brought in Amazon, FedEx, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Frito-Lay, you know, a lot of warehousing, that kind of thing, warehousing, light industrial, and manufacturing. So that's more of a proposal to sort of bring jobs and to build new buildings on the mall property after everything is torn down. They would basically build four buildings and then rent them out or lease them out to other companies, right? Okay. So that's kind of their plan. Less, or I should say fewer details in DiGeronimo Development's proposal. They didn't really say how much they wanted to pay for, but they basically said, hey, you know, there's 950,000 square feet of building space. We'd like to see the county demolish everything, pay all the costs, and then we'll take over the property. But the purchase price, probably from what I understand, would be negotiated sort of behind closed doors. DiGeronimo would pay an amount of money to the Lorain County Port Authority, which owns most of this property that we're talking about. And then it would want financial incentives, like a TIF, a tax increment financing, plan to help it redevelop the site. So fewer details, and they also wanted some changes to the streets around the mall, to the roadways around the mall, and said they would make some one-time payments to school districts in lieu of property taxes, that kind of thing. But fewer details in that one. So probably two of these proposals will be chosen sort of as finalists, and then Lorain County Port Authority will go out and have public meetings to discuss exactly, you know, what people want to see, what they want to do, you know, which of the proposals sort of, you know, interests the public the most when it comes to what's going to happen in the mall.
Good deal, good deal. So excellent breakdown, man. Great article by you. I believe this was over the weekend in the Chronicle Telegram. But just fantastic stuff breaking down kind of the different proposals. Like you said, maybe looking forward to two finalists. And you know, I think some people are saying finally a little bit of movement here on what could be redevelopment options for the Midway Mall. So again, I encourage those interested to check out Dave's article in the Chronicle Telegram, also online at chronicletea.com. As we are talking with the author of that article right now, Dave O'Brien, on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria. Dave, what are you, your new colleague Mason, Carissa, all the friends over there at the CT, what are you guys working on this week as far as upcoming stories go around the holiday?
Yeah, Owen and I are working on some court stuff. I know we're doing some follow-ups on some stories that we wrote last week, so stay tuned for that. Elyria having a town hall on homelessness. I know Owen will be writing something about that. Mm-hmm. In all likelihood. Some contract negotiations going on in Elyria schools with its teachers. Coming up on Thanksgiving, we'll have some Thanksgiving giveaway news. Like I said, I'm going to do some court stuff coming up here. And, hopefully we'll have a follow-up very soon on the whole countywide radio controversy with the L3 Harris radios, the county, city of Elyria, city of Lorain, trying to get it in on the radio system and all that and more. Obviously, myself, Carissa, Owen, Mason, Lauren, at thechronicletea.com or in the Chronicle Telegram print edition.
There you go. Pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today or find that digital e-edition online for subscribers at chronicletea.com. All right, Dave, that brings us to the end here. What do you got for me for this week's scanner story? Hopefully it's a fun one.
A little interesting, a little off. Again, we judge no one based on their religion or creed or anything like that. But this is just kind of a wild one from our friends at Northeast Ohio Scanner over on X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm sorry to laugh. I really do apologize. But this is a pretty good one. At Deadline Cleveland Heights, location withheld. The gas company needs police officers' assistance to cut off service to people who refuse to pay. They said that because of their religion, they do not have to pay for services.
Oh, boy. There it is.
There it is, right? It's like, well, I'm not going to pay for the gas that I've used because my religion says I don't have to.
Wow.
That's not quite how that works.
No, I don't.
Not really how this works.
No. If it was, that would be a pretty popular religion, if I had to guess.
Absolutely.
But it's not.
Absolutely. And I'm very specifically not naming the religion that they,
sure.
that they claim
sure.
to be members of. Again, no judgment on anybody for your beliefs. You can have your beliefs. But there's still certain things. And I think there's even, whole parts of the Bible that basically say that you have to pay your taxes, that you have to pay for services. This is not something that you can just skate by on because you belong to one, one religion or another. So. Apologies.
Jesus would tell you to pay those taxes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just not calling anyone out. Not doing it.
Absolutely not.
Well, entertaining stuff as always, Dave. And again, I encourage our listeners to check out the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues at the CT. They are busting their butt as always to bring you the news. Again, pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today or find that digital e-edition online at chronicletea.com. Support that local journalism, folks. Very important. Dave, thank you as always, my friend. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll reconvene after the holiday.
All right, sounds good, Rocco. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours and everybody out there in Radio Land.